I think I'm finally going to get into this. We're going to actually be able to do it. Here's the crazy part. We start this and have to restart. Start this and have to restart. It's kind of like being on a boat on the rocks. Every time a wave hits you, you just get worse. Time to have a drink on the rocks, I think. It's Fish and Frank and Radio Fish in the Area Fishing Report. And I have Captain Carl with us. And in the chair across from me, in the seat, is Robert, our legendary Robert. And I guess we can kind of get into this. We've got all kinds of stuff to go over, a lot of stuff to cover. But, all right, let's see. Here we are, and we're talking about from Harbor Heights, Shell Creek, up the river. Anybody heard anything?
What's the river flow doing right now? Especially after a deluge yesterday. Probably not registering it yet, but wow, was that a frog choker.
Wait till after today.
Fishandfranks.com, weather and tides. And go down and hit the Peace River. I looked and I don't, we got to check Shell Creek each week too because it's at 5.5, almost 6 feet. I don't know if that's good or bad. Most since 1,650 cubic feet and the average is, it's, we're right on average. It went up to 8 feet and it's down to about 7 as of yesterday, so now we're going to see where it goes after today. So that's going to be kind of interesting. It's at 6.5 feet right now, 6.5, and it was up to almost a little over 8, so it's down. So we'll see how far it goes back up. Now at 6.5 feet, that's 4.5 feet of water coming down the Peace River at this moment, coming down to the harbor. Cool thing, we got some new shows started. You'll see a couple icons on here. The tent sale is going to be March 24th this next year, and we have the new, what we laughingly refer to as FCAST. What that is the let's see, the Fishing, Casting, and Supplemental Technique Show, which is a preview or sneak peek at what's the new products for 2019. Keep in mind, now this is in 2018, this is going to happen, but we've got the factory's degree to come and give you a sneak peek of what's going on in the fishing industry right here at Fish and Frank's, June 30th next year. It's a big deal. It's the first time this has ever been done anywhere in the world. And considering that Florida is the state that sells more fishing tackle than any other state, almost any other two combined, and then Southwest Florida is one of the top places for fishing in the number one state for fishing in the country. So they've agreed to come down and give you, now no phones allowed, you're not going to be allowed to take pictures because 10 days later it all shows up at ICAST. Once ICAST is out, you can do whatever you want to do. But this is your chance. Now, the cool part about it, you're going to be able to pre-order products that aren't even on the market yet. But what Robert and I have been picking for over 20 years, picking the tackle we think you want to fish with. Carl's been to the shows with us, and that's what we do, right, Carl?
It's fun. I like it. See all the new stuff.
But we're going there, and we're trying to decide. This is what people get to fish with. This is going to be starting in 2018, you guys are going to pick. You're going to pick the new products. And this is going to be from companies that we do not even deal with. Companies we've never bought anything from before. Companies we've bought from for years. Where the tent sale, these are about friends of ours. These are about factories we work with all the time. Coming so you get to understand, meet them, know who they are, why we buy from them. Because they're good people.
Right.
And that's what happens at the tent sale. But what's going to happen on June 30th at the new products, the Consumers New Product Show, is you're going to be able to decide, do you like the people at this company? Do you like their products? Is this something that you want available to you all the time? We are putting you in control of the brands, products, you know, stuff that we're going to carry in the store from now on. That's what's going to happen. And some of the companies said, well, we don't know if we can do that because, you know, it debuts there. And I said, well, listen, you know, here you're going to have all these other companies there, all these people, thousands of people showing up. And if there's no room on the wall, no room on the wall for you. No soap for you. You know, I would come and let the people of Southwest Florida. And June 30th, that's still tourist season. We got people from all over
the world.
Nation and all over the world coming to Southwest Florida for tarpon, sharks, all the rest of that stuff. It's one of the best times of the year to fish. And so, you know, if you're a manufacturer and you're not going to attend, you're lost, buddy. Because thousands of people will be there to see these new products, and they can order them, and the products that get ordered are the ones we're going to buy. That's where we're going to spend our money. So, you know, gone are the days, and I don't think it's fair. I think this should be a more open to everybody to decide, you know, why is it up to me and Robert and Carl and the people that work here to choose what you fish with? I mean, we're pretty good at it, but, you know, I think it should be in the people's hands.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And getting some new insight sometimes opens our eyes to stuff, because there's so many millions of things.
Are you ready for a joke?
Yeah.
Make America bait again.
Nice.
I stole that off Sci-Fi. That's what they were doing for the Sharknado thing. Make America bait again.
Nice.
That was on Sci-Fi Channel. I've been dying to use that line.
That's cute. That works.
We're going to make America bait again. Right. I can't help it. I just cracked myself up. I'm so funny. All right. Even when I steal the stuff from Sci-Fi. All right. I was watching Sharknado. You almost can't help yourself to watch Sharknado. I mean, it is the most ridiculous, cheesy movie in history. But it's so cheesy, it's funny. They've made five of them.
Well, I saw something. It's like, next time you think somebody is saying something ridiculous, remember some guy was sitting at a board table and said, hey, let's do a movie about sharks and tornadoes.
Yeah. Well, you know, big hit Twister, big hit Jaws, let's put them together and have it raining sharks, and then have a guy jump into the mouth of a great white and cut himself out of the belly. Yeah, with a chainsaw, no less.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't get a chainsaw to start in the air, let alone inside a belly of something that's wet.
Can you imagine being inside a shark, pulling on the chainsaw?
Right.
It won't start! That would be my luck.
That'd be mine, too.
All right, so anyway, this is a fishery report.
Theoretically.
And we're going to make Charlotte Harbor bait again. All right, let's see. Here we go. All right, Peace River. We're talking about from Harbor Heights up.
From water flow to that. That's kind of funny.
Yeah. I can't help myself. It's just the way I am.
I know.
All right. So anyway, do we have any fish up there? Is this a dead?
It's pretty much a dead zone at the moment.
Good place
to go bird watching and watch debris tree trunks and stuff floating down.
I have no idea what's going to happen at the dam because we just got all that rain. It rained all night last night, so I'm going to question mark that right there. And question marks means we have no idea. Now, the reason I had to be specific about where we are is because Punger K. Grady, the funeral home service, they have all kinds of stuff, everything you're going to need when you have these times when everybody does. I mean, let's face it, this is one of the things nobody wants to talk about, but the truth of it is, this is, and one of the guys that works there, regular customer, regular fisherman, he comes in all the time, and he says, hey, we'd like to sponsor the I-75 and Darst boat ramp. So, this is Punger K's Grady Funeral Home and Cremation Services. But I guess they got urns and, you know, caskets and all the other stuff that you can buy. I haven't really talked to him much because I know him. He comes in and he's fishing all the time. So we're going to try and get some fishing reports from him and see where all this goes. But nice folks there. And it seemed to be anyway. So let's see. Luckily, I've not had to deal with them. This is one of those places where you're lucky you have not dealt with them yet. Okay, so let's see. What's going on I-75? Darst, any?
I've heard of a couple juvenile tarpon being hooked there right at first light. And a couple guys are seeing some black drum, but I haven't heard of any being caught. How about you, Carl?
I've been hearing about the black drum. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
Soak a half a crab, blue call crab down there, and that's going to be your best bet.
Yeah. Even a peeled shrimp, too, sometimes works pretty good.
Yeah, shrimp
never
works.
Never know if you're going to come across some other oddball species while doing that.
Oh, yeah. You know? But, I mean, if I'm really targeting black drum, I'm bringing half a crab with me.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think Carl's going to be right on that. That's going to take us down to the 41 Bridge. Any reports from down by the bridge?
Yeah, I've been getting a few reports there. The redfish have started to show up there the last week. Some guys and folks are catching them off the power pole park there. There's been some juvenile tarpon first thing in the morning also with those redfish. Other than that, it's been kind of quiet. I haven't heard of the black drum there this week.
I've been hearing about them on the Punta Gorda side of the 41 Bridge.
All around the pilings there?
Around the pilings and then like up into the canals from there.
Yeah, we aren't there yet.
What is it now?
We aren't to the canals yet.
I know, that's why I was like...
Yeah, trail it off. Okay, yeah. Okay, got it. Okay, black drum around the pilings at, on the south end of the bridge.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Emba. I guess if I hit a D there, that would help. You know, you don't have to be quiet. We know that people walk by. This is, you know, the Fish and Frank show. Nothing goes the way it's supposed to. We had... All right, Lashley Pier.
That I have not heard anything about this week.
Well,
I've been quiet.
Nope. Okay, question marks, which... The question marks mean we just don't have a clue. Bayshore Pier, sponsored by the people at Centennial Bank. You don't bank there yet, do you, Carl?
No.
We got to take you over there. Got to take you over there. I'll take you over there and introduce you to the folks. And they're going to be... Look at my toy just showed up. My white whale. There's one guitar, one bass I've been looking for forever. And I'm waiting to find the right price. They only made 400 of them. It's a Gibson Flying V short scale bass guitar. And they only made 400 of them.
Wow.
And nice. I finally found one in the original case and everything. Hopefully it plays okay. But I don't know. Kind of an investment thing. Really, you know, I like Gibson basses. I think I have some Fenders because I like the two different sounds. But I love the rumble of a Gibson bass, even though the box says Fender. It's not. It's an actual Gibson. Hopefully it is. I haven't opened
Surprise.
It yet. Yeah, it better be. I've been waiting forever to find a Flying V short scale bass in the original case. That's, you know, made in America, obviously. And Make America Bass Again. Okay, yeah, it's not working. Okay, that was bad.
You're reaching there.
Yeah, I reached out. It sucked. Okay, Centennial Bank and the wonderful people there sponsoring Bayshore Pier. What do we have to say about Bayshore Pier?
They have been getting a couple of redfish there the last couple days, mostly in the early morning. I've heard of a couple small bull sharks this past week, and guys are seeing some tarpon rolling out there just outside of casting distance, but not landing them, or hooking any, I should say. You been hearing anything over there, Carl?
Just about the juvenile tarpon, that's it.
There you go. So, it's kind of a normal thing this time of year. Those redfish, you got a small window of opportunity because it only seems to last a couple weeks this time of year along that shoreline for the land-based fishermen. Don't know why that is. It's always puzzled me.
Yeah,
they like our rivers.
All right, well, speaking of... narrow bodies of water. The Porchella Canal System, sponsored by Ray Smith Excavating. If you need something done, your yard to be reshaped, your business, I mean...
Commercial, residential, he can do it all.
Yeah, whatever it is, Ray Smith can do it, and he does excellent work. He shaped my yard and helped when the contractor was doing everything wrong. Ray came in and did that, and... Martin Septic is another one I should mention. I need to put up Martin Septic and Shenango Supply. Hi-oh! Shenango. I just thinking about people that should be on here. I gotta contact them and put them on there. But anyway, Ray Smith, great guy. All right, go ahead. Porchella Canal Systems.
A lot of small peanut snooks swimming around in there. Some of the guys are catching them trolling on their way in and out of the canals. There has been some jacks, a few mangrove snapper, and all sorts of juvenile tarpon in every one of the canal systems. It seems like not one seems to be better than another right now with all the hodgepodge I've been hearing about. And then the other thing I've been hearing about has been the juvenile black drum. Quite a few guys doing real good on those. I mean, Chuck's Custom Carpentry, I mean, he's been killing them whatever canal system he's in, but it's kind of funny with those juveniles. They seem to group together, so one little spot, you'll catch a bunch, and then all the other areas, zero. But they're that perfect kind of eating size, that 15 to, 24-inch range. Not giants, but just good for grocery shopping, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I've only tried them one time, and it was so long ago, I couldn't even tell you what one tastes like.
There's been some big snook at the mouth of the canals. Early morning, trolling or just pitching lures in the docks seems to be working good for the bigger snook. But they've been hanging out right at the mouth of the canals.
I think they're just moving back in.
Good possibility.
Because they've all did the spawning thing, and now they're working their way back to the canals. I don't think they're hanging out there. I think they just got there.
Yeah, I'm torn on that one. Mm-hmm. So warm and so many fish still out there on the beach.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I think they're just starting some of these fish to move back up towards the canals, but they haven't really moved into the canals yet.
Right.
This would be, right on track for, we've had the rains, the water's a little iffy, they're not really moving into the canals yet, but a lot of them are leaving the beaches, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, moving back up into the harbor. It's right on track for what that should be.
Yeah.
Going over to the Elgevine Pier on the Myakka River, sponsored by Action Appliance. Great folks there. And if you're appliances breakdown, give them a call, or if you want to buy appliances, I highly recommend make it your first stop, because as I've said, I don't know if they want me to say this, but like I say, they're kind of stuck with whatever I say. I went in there looking for specific refrigerators for bait. They didn't have it, but they were able to tell me where to go get it, and it's amazing. That's why Action Appliance should be your very first stop, because even if they don't have what you want, they can help you find it. So you don't get better than that. You don't get nicer than that. Elgevine Pier, what's going on?
Still closed. Unfortunately. Around the bridge for the boat fishermen, though, it's been good. But the actual pier itself is still closed.
What's going on around the bridge?
A lot of juvenile tarpon in the mornings. Been some good-sized jacks mixed in with them. And then some guys have been catching some decent mangrove snapper. Not good numbers, but definitely better quality. I've been hearing of some 13, 14-inch fish being caught off there with guys using the small pinfish, or they've been using some of those. One guy's been using the silversides, the frozen silversides that we got.
I can tell you that silversides is the secret hidden key bait for mangrove snapper fishing in the canals, around the docks. The guys who started that, we were selling tons of it, and I think they're not fishing right now, but I didn't really know why we were carrying, because we never sold very many of them, a bag here, a bag there, and now it's just becoming the thing.
They work good.
Bag of shrimp and a bag of the silver sides, and it's anyway, going to bring us over to the Myakka River area. This is sponsored by Jim up at Murdoch Tire. Again, don't get any better than that. It's Murdoch Tire and Auto Center, and they are the bomb. There's no way around it. Good. Yeah. Okay, that's it. All right, yeah. Myakka River System.
Myakka River, this is your backyard, Carl.
Up the Myakka River?
No. From the bridge out.
What, like Hog Island?
Yeah, anything around the Myakka.
You've got Hog Island, Kettle Dock Point, Tippecanoe Bay, the river itself, the 14-foot hole. What are you choosing?
Well, I was going to say up. Past the bridge, I haven't been hearing much of anything, but Myakka Cutoff, there's been a lot of fish inside it. There's a lot of big snook right now. Try to target your deeper bends, like your deeper water right now, where those snook are going to be sitting at deeper water. Early morning, throw the top water for them. Later in the day, I've been just bouncing, you know, spurrow jigs off the bottom. There's also quite a few...
Spurrow jigs?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I misunderstood what you said.
Yep. And then, you know, there's a lot of redfish in there. Shrimp and crabs is what I've been mainly using for the redfish. They've just been scattered all over the mica cutoff. There has been some fish in Tippy Canoe, too. Around all your oyster beds, your deeper oyster beds, they've been holding redfish.
What about out in the open? You been hearing anything about that at all? It's been pretty quiet from what I've been hearing.
Early morning, there's been a few juvenile tarpon right there in those, you know, that 14-foot hole right at the mouth of Tippy Canoe. But as soon as that sun's coming up, they're pushing down on the west wall.
Gotcha.
I mean, literally on the mangroves.
Yeah. Yeah, those fish have been staying steady.
You'd be sitting there catching redfish and snook. Next thing you know, tarpon rolls right next to you.
All right, here's the one, and we're still trying to work out getting, and I'm just going to put question marks. Anybody have anything on South Gulf Cove?
Cale told me the other day because he picked up a customer coming out of there, and he actually was trolling, and they caught a bunch of little snook on their way out.
That's so good.
He said that was his official fishing report for through there. He said, when we decide to do this, I'm glad I remembered.
Yeah.
like, he told me that on Monday. Well,
now, Kill usually trolls bombers and rattle traps, so I don't know.
Yeah, he didn't specify what he was trolling, to be honest, that I remember. I was lucky to remember that part of it.
Either that or a storm twitch stick.
A storm twitch stick would be the other one.
That's the one the that I would personally troll.
I would troll the storm twitch, but on the other side, I would put a crawdad orange and black rattle trap on.
Either that or one of those dark storm paddle tails, like the bunker color.
That might work, too. I know my best luck trolling on the bridges and stuff for snook is that crawdad color rattle trap. And it's not one you would ever, ever, ever look at for saltwater. Yeah. I would just completely ignore it.
Right.
But happened to be, I grabbed it, didn't know which one I took. I lost the other one, put that one on. I've done way better with it. That's my trolling lure. One of my top trolling lures for snook is that crawdad color rattle trap. Would have ever guessed.
I wouldn't have.
Nope, I wouldn't have either. And I think it's the first time I've ever said it live on the show. I guess my secret's out now. All right, we're going to move down the west wall. This is sponsored by Luigi's. I think everyone knows what we think of Luigi's. Love their pizza. We've been trying new stuff down there. I had the buffet. They got a new thing on Wednesday nights. It's like, I think it's like $6 or $7 for the buffet.
Good too.
It's good, yeah. I mean, I ate a stack of pizza there that should have killed me. I mean, honest to God, it should have put me in a diabetic coma, but it was wonderful. And let's see, Luigi's, this is where the fishing club goes on. Now, this month at the fishing club, which is going to be at Luigi's, the assignment for myself, Robert, Carl, and Cale, and possibly Captain Mike Myers, is to go out, catch a snook, and then take pictures of the place. We're going to highlight where it is, show you where they caught it, pictures of the rig they were using, whether it's with bait or lures, pictures of all that. I have mine done. I'm done. I've got mine together. So I'm not under any pressure. Now, I'm going to go fishing with Carl on Sunday so that I don't have one that I'm, because the one I've got is, it's done, but it's... Yeah, I'm going to catch a lot of grief over that one. But so that's the assignment at the fishing club. And with the overhead projectors, we have the new headset microphones. So you're going to be able to easily hear everybody. We've got the laptop computer. We use the big projector. I'm having a stand made for it to get it up in the air. So it's not going to blind you guys when you stand up. I'm having it raised up to 6.5-7 feet.
That'd be good.
So... Max Welding is doing all that for me. They're building the stand, so everything's got a place and it can live somewhere. This has been kind of a pain hauling all these little parts, and now I've even got more parts, all the headset microphones and the stuff. I got all that at the music stand up there in Murdoch from David, been a friend of mine since the 80s. So the music stand, it's where I go for all my music parts for my bass guitars, my amps, and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, the West Wall, what's going on the West Wall? We say tarpon are moving down the West Wall. When?
A lot of juveniles staying on the inside of the flats there in that trough. Literally from Trout Creek all the way down to Cape Hayes.
Okay, I'm going to rephrase this again.
They're on a high and low tide boat.
But when are they coming down? They seem to be first thing in the morning. They're up in the mouth of the Myakka River. They're in the Myakka River. About what time, 9 o'clock, do you think they start moving down? 10 o'clock, 8 o'clock?
Probably 8 o'clock.
They start moving down.
Just as the sun's starting to come above the trees, pretty much.
All right, I'm going to put 8:30 because nobody will make a decision. All right, 8:30.
Your guess is as good as ours. Go try it.
Well, you guys are supposed to be like the tactical ones here. I'm supposed to, you know, do the color. I'm making America bait again.
Nice.
You know? You guys are supposed to be adding the color here. All right. So anyway, the tarpon are moving down the
he
West
starts
Wall.
Wearing flag shorts around here. I'm going to have a problem.
They're red. Never mind. All right.
Wrong shorts.
Yeah. All right. Down the tarpon are moving down. Now, are they up against the mangroves or are they out on the sandbar?
They're up on the mangroves all the way out 30 yards, 40 yards off.
Most of the guys are catching those on what?
White bait, be honest right now.
White bait and small thread fins if you can find them.
Yep.
Just don't stay up in there too long because they do die pretty quickly.
Top water's working very good, you know, on an overcast morning. Other than that, I'd be trying to throw like a split tail shad, you know, twitch baits.
Jerk bait?
Yep. Something like that. I'd be trying to throw something along those lines.
A zoom super fluke. Zoom, or
I like those all
DOA
white zooms.
Jerk bait. Yeah. That'd be a good choice.
You know, I'd throw it with a weedless hook with no weight. Try to keep it up on the surface as much as possible.
Okay. That's going to take us down to Cape Hayes. This is sponsored by Finor. And the Lethal Reels and the Marquesa Reels, some of the most dependable reels on the market at this point. Bye, Barb.
Bye.
Have a nice day. All right. Finor has done an excellent job of bringing durability, reliability back to some of the reels. I mean,
and price-wise, too.
Yeah, you got the Lethal that sits at that $100 mark, but what people don't get is if I had a guy in the other day, he was bragging to me, he had 13 ball bearings in a $40 reel.
Yeah. Good quality ball bearings, I'll bet.
I'm like, that's, you know, I'm saying, oh, gee, that's nice, but, you know, he's using it in freshwater, so it won't matter.
Right, yeah, in freshwater would be
but
fun.
You know, it was that lose reel. And I had said, I do want to buy lose this year. I want to get, but their spinning reels, I don't think much of. And if you got that many ball bearings in a $40 reel, it's a junk reel.
Right.
It's a junk reel. There's no way around it. That's about marketing. It's very dishonest of the companies, in my opinion, to market something because they're junky ball bearings. So as soon as salt touches them, grain of sand gets in there, that bearing's going to start falling apart. There's no way around it. That's what's going to happen. In that line of reel, no ball bearings, one or two, maybe three, but you want as few as possible to give you the longest term possible. If it was all bushings, I would feel much better about it. You would actually get your money's worth out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't see it on that. But we're actually supposed to be advertising Finor. But the good thing about the Finor, quality of materials. When you hit that $100 mark, you get that good grade of stainless. You get, you know, stuff that's going to last. And so far, Finor Lethal spinning reels can't go wrong.
It's good reel.
No.
God, I'm stuck at doing ads, don't I? I mean, I'll go off on somewhere else and talk about what I don't like about somebody else's reel. And okay. All right, I'm horrible at this. We get that. K-Pays, what's going on?
Redfish down there.
Yeah, the redfish have been moving on that inside trough between Muddy Bay and Turtle Bay. along with quite a few snook mixed in along that shoreline.
Yep.
You know, just got to make sure you're careful where you anchor up along there, because it is a highway for boat traffic.
Yes, it is.
Hug up as close as you can to that shoreline, or stay way on the other side so you can see boats come in and cast across, which is my personal more safer favorite.
There's a lot of fish right there on Cape Hayes though right now, like Robert was saying, redfish and snook.
Dad and I caught flounder there.
Yeah, it's also it's a very good place for flounder. Especially up towards, like halfway up towards Turtle Bay, on that deeper, when you start getting into all those oyster beds.
Yeah.
That's where I usually get a lot of the flounder.
We've also been hearing of a few pompano out on top of the Cape Hayes flat itself, especially closer to the Boca Grande side, where it drops off that little bit deeper water.
All right. Now, that's going to move us into Bull Bay, Turtle Bay. This is sponsored by Penn. And I will tell you that I have never in my life ever had a real company support independent retailers the way Penn does. You know, I'm usually whoever gives you the best dollar value, you know, that's the brand I want to go with. It's going to be so hard to get me away from Penn. It's going to be almost impossible. Right now, you come in, and I guarantee you, we're going to shock you. When you go to buy the Penn reels, you say, oh, well, you can't, you know, they can't do this. Oh, yes, we can. And if you're thinking about getting new reels, come to Fish and Frank's. We will surprise you. I have a tablet there, and we are going to very much surprise you on Penn reels and the price of Penn reels. I've never, ever dreamed of a company who would... Us independents, we not only have to deal with, you know, local chain store competition, we have to deal with internet competition. Not anymore. Not anymore. We're back. Okay. Yeah. We got it. Okay. Penn, outstanding international corporation, gives unbelievable support to small independent retailers like me and Robert.
And honestly, Carl. Phenomenal customer service, yes. Too, for and them when they buy it. You know, yeah. It's really, really good.
Could not be more impressed with this overall organization. Yep. And they are belong to what Newell, which is one of the largest companies in the world, not just in the U.S., in the world. And they still take time out to have meetings and care about independence. Impressed. Okay. Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, what's going on?
Well, there's a lot of redfish in Turtle Bay and Bull Bay. They're just scattered all out through all the islands. Everywhere I went the other day, we'd stop and sit there for 20 minutes. We end up getting one or two redfish. The snook seem to be more concentrated up towards the mouth of Turtle Bay and Bull Bay, though, right now. There's a lot more bait up towards the mouth of Turtle Bay and Bull Bay, so the snook seem to be hanging out around more around them areas.
I've been hearing of quite a few ladyfish over in Bull Bay, and mixed in with them has been some trout right down the center, basically open part of the water. And then there's been some good-sized snook right around those fish shacks right at the entrance going into Bull Bay.
Ladyfish have been doing the best for them.
For bait?
Yes.
Yeah.
Live or dead.
All right. Now that brings us to the Cape Hayes Reef. And this is the point where we mention what's going on at the fishing club, even though I did a little earlier. This month's assignment for everybody is to go out, catch a snook, and take pictures of where they caught it, what they were using, what, you know, pictures of them with the fish they caught, so that when you come to the fishing club meeting this month at Luigi's, you are going to see on the big screen, we got that big 8-foot or 10-foot screen, whatever it is now, laser pointers and all that. We're going to show you overall view, closer views, detailed on where it was, what was used, how it was used, and what was caught. And even mine, which, and nobody laughs when you see mine. It is not allowed to laugh at me. Okay.
We're allowed to laugh at it?
No.
Okay.
No, I am...
Well, you said you...
I'm the one making America bait again. I'm not supposed to be laughed at. Okay, so... All right. Cape Hayes Reef.
A lot of mackerel, a lot of ladyfish. There's also a lot of smaller sharks right now. You know, that 3 to 4 foot range. I mean, the other day, I mean, my buddy was there. They caught like 30 sharks. And they, you know, all in that 3 to 4 foot range using ladyfish. There also has been quite a few tarpon in that area, too.
Yeah, the tarpon seem to be showing up there in the afternoon on those spots. Hard to miss that shadow going by, huh?
Yeah.
It was an eclipse.
Yeah. It was an eclipse. Carl, were you here for the eclipse? Did you come in that day?
No.
Okay, because I bought that welding mask, and we were all out looking at the eclipse through the welding mask.
No, I stayed inside all day. I didn't want to go outside and look.
Oh, man. You know what was the neatest thing about it? The change in the temperature and the weather.
Yeah, the temperature was the impressive part to me.
I mean...
When you pointed that out, it was like, no kidding, that's a trip.
I would say 13, 14 degree difference during the eclipse to just before and after. After the eclipse, I went out, and somebody was mentioning it to me, and I'm thinking, eh. I went out half an hour afterwards, went out to my truck, and went, oh my God, is it hot? And we stood outside during the eclipse for on and off for quite a while, for a couple hours. Yeah. You know, most of the time I was outside. Because when customers were coming up, I say, hey, would you like to look? We had the welding hood, and we had bunches and bunches of people, you know, looking through the welding hood to see the eclipse, and people wouldn't have got to see it. And so I went down and donated it to Todd, the guy at Max Welding. He's, you know, I gave him the welding hood. I didn't want it to go to waste. So pretty cool one. It changes from almost like sunglasses to boom, black. Everybody's going, I can't see. Look up. You got to see. If you're not pointed at the sun, you can't see through it, you know? But that was actually amazing, the weather change, how cool it got.
Yeah, it was pretty wild.
Now, the only thing is people say, oh, well, that's ridiculous. But you got to kind of look to the point that if you're standing in the sun and then you go into the shade, it can be 15 degrees difference between standing in the direct sunlight and going into the shade. So it's not far-fetched that the moon going in front of the clouds changed the temperature. Now, I've been watching, because they were supposed to do all these studies, or the bird's going to go to sleep. Did the bees, you know, fall out of the sky? And, you know, did animals, you know, lose their minds? I've not heard the results of one study.
Not yet. Not at all.
Not one.
I don't think it did anything, to be honest with you.
Well, if it was in an area where total eclipse.
Right.
Right during the path of the total. For us, it just got a little twilight.
Right.
It really was kind of like twilight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not full, because it was still bright out, but it was definitely more evening looking.
Yeah.
Or morning. I don't know.
I think more morning looking to
me. More morning looking, yeah. So, anyway, it was pretty cool. So, anyway, Gasparilla Sound and Tailing Flats, sponsored by Radio Waterline. Tune in every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 o'clock on 92.9 Kix Country FM. And hear Robert and Captain Mike Myers and Josh Olive expound on the fishing in Southwest Florida. I guess tomorrow you guys are doing Snook Show, right?
Well, that's kind of what he said.
I think that's what he said.
But that could change. I don't know.
Yeah, it depends upon what the conversation.
You never know with Mike. There's shiny things involved, so it could segue anywhere you want at that moment.
Ooh, ouch, ouch. Well, that's just like, you guys went out fishing, right?
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the trip, he goes, oh, gee, we were supposed to catch a snook.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I guess I got to do my thing. I'm on a bet he doesn't have it. I'm just taking a bet now.
He's still got 10 days.
He's got the biggest heart of anybody
gosh.
I know. He's just such a warm-hearted, friendly guy, and he's fun, but he's going to go out fishing, and when he's heading back to the boat ramp, he's going to go, oh, I should have took pictures. How much you want to bet for the next 10 days? Well, I don't know when the...
Tomorrow's going to be... He's going to end up busting my chops a little bit, so I'll beat him to the punch.
Okay, we got... Yeah, he's got till September 12th. to get it done. So he's got literally almost 20 days left before the next fishing club. So we're going to see. Yeah. You think he's going to do it?
I think he'll pull through with it.
All right. I got dinner at Luigi's on that.
Just for you and me. I'm not buying Kale's.
Yeah, I'd rather buy his clothes than feed him.
Just saying.
Yeah, okay. All right. We're on Gaspro Sound and Tailing Flats in a vicious edition. I got to warn you, if you're going to college, don't listen to this show. You'll be, there's triggers, you know. It's offensive, okay? All right, Radio Waterline. Oh, we're in the Gaspro Sound Tailing Flats. What's going on?
Let's see, from basically Devilfish, Kale Palau, all the way up to Catfish Creek, any of the exterior islands are holding quite a few redfish on them, along with a few trout kind of more in the open areas and some of the deeper troughs going into Widden Creek. And then there's been some scattered ladyfish, a few juvenile tarpon cruising around through there. I've had a couple of guys catch a couple of nice-sized lemon sharks and, nurse sharks right there around the clam fields, the clam leases. So there's been kind of a little bit of a mixed variety in there, but you do have to move a little bit to find them. You know, those redfish are peppered all through there from what I'm being told. I don't know about you, Carl, if you've been fishing back in that area or not, because you're finding so many redfish without having to travel that far.
Yeah, there's a lot of redfish out in the Whitting Creek right now, and Catfish Creek. You know, wait till your lower tides and then get in there and just float those really shallow flats. And on these low tides right now, they're tailing all over the place.
I heard the crabs are like one of the premier baits for back in there besides cut up pinfish.
Crabs and pinfish have been working the best. Your crabs aren't going to last very long because there's a lot of pinfish in them areas. That's when I'll tend to switch over to the pinfish.
Now, one of the things I'm going to say about that is I was told all these pinfish under the mangroves. When I went out, I had to put the storm twitch on. You need to put a storm twitch stick on the white and gray one. Mm-hmm. Cast it up where you think they're pinfish. When you feel that peck, 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 set the hook good and see if they're snapper or pinfish.
I've caught both on them.
Yeah, because it, to me, when I went and was testing to see what was destroying my bait, all tiny snappers.
Well, see, I'm throwing the cup bait on the low tide and the high tide. So on the low tide, I'm out in the flats where the redfish are tailing.
And that's where the pinfish would be.
Yep.
And up against the mangroves.
They're most of the time are going to be snapper.
Yeah, it was all mangrove snappers.
Because I have been catching some good sheep's head, you know, this past week. You know, the sheep's head are moving in pretty good right now.
That's really weird.
I'm catching them all the way up in the harbor. Like 20-inch sheep's heads.
I think this new moon, full moon, whatever it is, storm season, global warming, climate change, rift in the time space, sheephead shouldn't be showing up for 2 months yet.
Oh, they're here. They're here already.
All right, let's talk about Placida here.
The trestle itself is still closed, but if you're fishing from a boat, fishing right in the immediate vicinity of the trestles, you know, they're getting some mangrove snapper. You know, you're talking about some sheep's heads. Some guys are seeing them. I haven't heard of anyone catching any there, but I know they're seeing some. And then there has been a good deal of pompano around the trestle and the two bridges right there at Boca Grande. So they're kind of getting a good little mixture of stuff there. The only thing I didn't hear about this week at all was any snook or redfish. I don't know if you have, Carl.
There has been some very, very, very big snook. Sitting around those bridges right there and the trestles. Live ladyfish have been working the best for them. The only time we've been trying to target them is when the sun's coming up. When the sun's coming up, well, after the sun's already up, we're usually not trying to target them anymore.
Just because you can't, or they
just
don't
want traffic. The boat traffic shuts them down. Them fish didn't get that big for no reason.
Right.
So, you know, once that sun starts coming up and boats start driving around, them fish usually tend to shut down till later in the evening when, you know, boats stop driving so much.
Yeah, I used to like to try and time a lot of my charters late in the afternoon, early evening, when everybody had left the water. I'd do one first thing in the morning, and then I would do another one if I had a second trip. I would try and target it late in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Stump Pass, Lemon Bay. Well, not so much Stump Pass, but Lemon Bay. Anything going on at Lemon Bay?
Lemon Bay, I talked to my guys again that have been fishing up there pretty regularly. They were in here on Monday. They did real good on the trout up there by the Lemon Bay Conservancy again. That's like their favorite place to fish. They were catching their trout on small pinfish under a popping cork, just letting it drift along. They were using their kayaks this time instead of waiting because they wanted to cover a little bit more area. And they were just drifting along and casting to some of the sand holes. They also picked up one gag grouper that he said was actually legal size, which shocked him. And he said there was nothing around it. He kayaked over to the spot to see if there was something sunk there or whatever, but it was a 24 and a half inch gag grouper on a pinfish, so he was ecstatic. Other than that, he didn't mention much else because he just mainly went into all the detail with the gag grouper, which I was fine with because he was excited.
Yeah, that's awesome. Carl, you got anything for up there?
On the back side of the what's that called? Ski Alley?
Yeah.
There's a good school of redfish running those islands right now. The lower tide, you know, they're going to be scattered out in those potholes because there's some deep potholes in that section. They'll be in those deeper potholes on the low tide, and then once the tide comes up, they're pushing to the mangroves. The best bait for them has been cut pinfish.
Cut pinfish working the best?
Yes.
Not even your usual crabs?
No, I've always done, up there I hardly use any crabs.
Okay.
I mainly use just cut pin fish.
Kind of surprising the way that works that way.
Yeah, like I said, once I start getting around a lot of pinfish, then crabs don't last very long.
Right. Yeah.
It's too expensive. Yes. You're talking a couple of bucks per crab. Yep. That's a lot.
And I could just sabiki some pinfish while I'm fishing. You know, while my customers are fishing, I'm sitting in the back of the boat sabikiing up some big pinfish, cutting them up.
There you go. That's a good idea.
All right. We're going to the Englewood Pier, the Anger Pier, right next to Tom Adams Bridge. This is sponsored by Custom Sight and Sound up in Venice. Very good people to deal with if you haven't dealt with them. You need a home theater system or a TV or whatever. They've got all that stuff there. It's pretty awesome.
Pretty impressive, really.
And you're never going to meet a nicer guy than Julio.
I had no idea they built
Julio.
A TV as big as that.
Yeah.
Julio still floors me.
What'd you think when you met Julio that day?
He was super nice.
Great guy.
Super nice. But the way he was explaining stuff was easy to follow. He was pretty much layman's terms. He didn't try to baffle you with junk and confusing technical jargon. It was listening to him that way was pretty cool to me personally because I am not electronic savvy. So that made me feel pretty good. And he didn't know me from Adam with that stuff, so it was cool.
Yeah. And they're the ones that donated the projector and the big screen and all that for the fishing club. So when you come to the fishing club, you're going to see some of the stuff. They don't use it anymore. It's older equipment. But he said, here, can you use this at your fishing club?
It's going to be functional for us. Absolutely.
Yeah, really nice.
It'll help.
Okay. So what's going on in the pier? Any ideas?
During the daytime, they've been getting some ladyfish and juvenile tarpon in the very, very first early morning light. And then as the day progresses, it seems like it switches over to a handful of snapper, some whiting, a couple oddball Spanish mackerel. I haven't heard about any of the night fishing out there lately.
Smoke fishing's been decent at nighttime.
Has it?
Yeah, they've been doing better by the boat on the opposite side, though, than from the pier.
Oh, off the... on the... along the seawall there on the Minnesota Key side?
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah, the snook seem to be sitting over there for some odd reason right now.
Yeah, there I've been hearing about those with the construction going on along there underneath. I guess if the mullet come by, the snook really light up, even though they're already sitting there. It just seems like the mullet get them excited.
Oh, yeah, if you have that many mullet swimming over you, wouldn't you get excited?
Probably. Hey, I get excited just when I see one mullet jump in the canal anymore, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
It's almost like a unicorn. You know, just don't see or hear about them much. Yeah. So I like it.
All right. And let's see. So that's going to take us out into the Gulf of Mexico. and in the Gulf of Mexico. This is sponsored by American Fishing Wire High Seas, AFW, for all those who don't understand that. If you click the Reefs and Wrecks button, I think you're going to be surprised at all of the different stuff you can see. I've got a lot of them with lines out. We're trying to get a lot more pictures. We've got a big thing planned at the Fishing Club on October for that. But check out the Reefs and Wrecks page. I think you'll be real happy with that. But American Fishing Wire is the most reliable terminal tackle on the planet. And they're amazing people. They've already, they're going to be here for the tent sale. They're coming to the June 30th special event. They're just, you literally, it's hard to find a better company to deal with. I mean, again, astounding that these multinational companies actually care. This is another one, you know, I shouldn't bring Penn into this, but Penn and American Fishing Wire, they actually care about us independents. They want us to have the products. They help us. They're, it's amazing, folks. That's, I don't know what else to tell you. But anyway, so what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico?
Yeah, well, offshore has been doing very, very good lately. We've had a break, you know, up until these past couple of days of the weather. The fish are moving in closer. We've been not having to run out as far no more. We're running out 20.
For what?
For grouper and snapper. Everything is moving in. You know, we're running out 20, 25 miles now, catching keeper gag groupers, big, really big lane snappers, big mangroves. Triggers are closed. I mean, we're catching a lot of big, big triggers out there, which they are closed right now, but you have to let them go. The mangs we've been doing best on with shrimp. Trying to figure out what depth they are, because the mangroves, they've been elevated lately. So watch your depth finder and try to, like, guide your line down, you know. Let it go for 5 seconds and stop it. If you don't get nothing, let it go for another 5 seconds and stop it. Because those mangroves, they're elevated. But there's some really big mangrove snapper out there. The bonita have been everywhere out there. You could troll, you know, a cedar plug, a small spoon, anything along them lines, and you're going to catch bonita all day long. The offshore bite's been the best. I've seen it in a long time.
Yeah.
The bigger fish haven't been, like, mixed in with, like, if you have a lot of fish sitting on your boat right now, you're going to catch a lot of different varieties of sizes. You're not really going to get your big grouper where there's a lot of fish at. Your bigger fish, your bigger grouper, at least, are sitting more by themselves in small groups.
Seems to be a little more segregated out there on some of those patch reefs.
Yep.
The other thing that's been going on out there too, for the people who don't want to run that far out, but from like 3 to 15 miles, there's still been quite a few permit on a lot of the reefs moving around. Some good barracuda action. Been some big Jack Crevel cruising some of those reefs, so if you're trolling around those, you're picking those up along with an incidental king and some fairly good sized Spanish mackerel. You know, and of course all the snapper and grunts and stuff are doing really well too in those closer things. So if you're looking for groceries rather than just fun activity, you know, that would be a real good idea.
There's also quite a few big snook still on your really north near shore reefs too. There's quite a few big snook still on those real close reefs. Live pinfish have been working the best for them.
Live pinfish?
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
Put a small split shot on and
let them sink down real slow.
Let them go on to the bottom.
Yeah, and make sure you're using grouper gear for them, yes, or tarpon gear for them.
Oh, yeah, because they're going to hand your butt to you.
Yeah, yeah. The first thing they do is they don't run away from the reef. They run to it.
Yep.
You know, you get those guys that say, oh, my gosh, that must have been a big grouper, or must have been this, that, or the other thing. And they'd be surprised. A lot of times it's actually a snook that rails you.
Those snook are strong because they're competing with that current all day out there. So yeah, they're a lot stronger than your normal snook.
Well, you're not used to catching them in that deep water. I mean, you think about it on a flat, the quickness that they can run from, you know, 10 feet off a mangrove and be right up underneath in the mangrove roots in seconds. Picture that in 20, 30, 40 feet of water.
Yep. Same with redfish.
You know, they don't mess around.
All right. That's going to take us out to the passes. This is sponsored by Shield. They were just here last night. I was talking to them last night. And we're getting the supply thing figured out because we've had a hard time getting them. I did fish with the Shield rod and reel together. I like the combination together. I was right. I'm okay with the rods, okay with the reels. They're a little new for us, so I can't tell you how long they're going to last. But I can tell you, when I put the solid carbon rod and the reel together, used it, that's what I'm going to take with me if we go Sunday, Carl. It was a good setup. I was surprised. I like it way better on the water than I did in the store. I've been iffy, you know, wishy-washy about it in the store, but on the water, much better setup. And it's like a few of the other things where a couple of them I really wasn't that thrilled with in the store, but took them out in the water, and I think you're going to find, but I hate to blend it with something else, but like the Quantum Smoke stuff, I like a smoke rod and a smoke reel together. I'm not thrilled when I separate them with other stuff. The Shield to me is a blended setup. It seems to be the thing. If you're looking for a rod and a reel, I can recommend that. Now, if you're looking for a reel or a rod, maybe. That's going to be up to you.
Right.
But as a rod and reel, I'm very happy with the setup together.
Combo.
Yeah. I don't, you know, I wish I could give a better, more honest opinion of just the reel and just the rod, but when I put them together, I was very happy with it.
Well, it's still new.
Yeah, I mean, and I could be end up being wrong, you know, and wouldn't be the first time I was wrong. What's happening in some of the passes? What pass and what's going on?
The most activity I've been hearing about, honestly, have been the two usual suspects, Book Grand and Captiva Pass. Captiva Pass seems a little bit better for a variety of fish. An assortment of small to moderate sized sharks right just inside the pass and even a little bit on the outside edge of the pass. In the main pass itself, along the edges, they've been getting some good whiting, some mangrove snapper, a few snook, and the occasional big bull red. And then drifting right down the center, there's been an occasional gag. Most of them have been already pulled out since season opened. Some bigger mangrove snapper, been a handful of Spanish mackerel, and that's about it. But the main thing is, it seems like they're hitting on both tides, incoming and outgoing, but it seems like when that tide switches to come in, gets that salinity up just a little bit more, a little cooler water, seems to really turn them on a little bit better. Actually, significantly better.
Yep.
All right, here's a question for you. If Stump Pass with the new jetties out there, anything going on there?
I have not heard. That's my goal this weekend, actually, is to take a ride out there and go check it out. I'd like to get some pictures of it for you and see what it actually looks like.
Right, I haven't been out there yet either.
No.
I'm going to run the boat around over there. Kale came over a couple days ago, and I had stripped all the wiring out of my boat because it's been in there a few years, so took all the wiring out and redid all the wiring. We got the bilge pumps in, we got the live wells in, we got a new fish finder, depth finder. I went with a Hummingbird something or another, I don't know what it was, but
with the side imaging on it?
Yeah, it's got the side image on it, and the bottom imaging, if you're out there and you're listening, it's all BS. Is nothing to do with anything. That down imaging machine is useless. And I even asked the company, they said, well, you got to be going a certain speed to get it to work. It's garbage. Side scan is good. Down imaging is useless junk.
He's a traditional one.
Yeah, a regular fish finder is better than a down imaging fish finder. Side scan is the best, but don't spend 50 cent more on a down imaging than you would on a standard. You're wasting your money. I was severely disappointed. I had one on my boat and it was garbage. And I'm hoping this new Hummingbird. Now, the one problem I did have, I mounted it a little low. Now, it works at any speed. I mean, getting perfect pictures, fast, slow, but it's throwing water up into the boat. So I had to put a plate over the top of it. So,
gotcha. Yeah.
I'm putting a deflector plate, see if that's going to work, because I don't know. But with the deflector plate, I'm hoping, because it's beautiful picture and I can see everything, but it literally was throwing water into the back of the boat like Old Faithful. It was just constant geyser of water boiling into the boat and some out. It was a nightmare. So I don't know what the answer is, because if you're an eighth of an inch too high, you can't read it at speed. And if you're an eighth of an inch too low, it throws water in the boat.
I got a through hole, and mine won't read when I'm running.
Yeah. So I left mine down, and I just put a splash guard at it. I went in my shed and found an angled piece of aluminum diamond plate and just shot it to the back of the boat. Yeah. We'll see how it works. But I got to remember to take the screws out because I use self-tapping screws.
Uh-oh.
And they're going to rust away.
Yeah, one or two trips.
You know, I got one trip to get them out before they rust into place. So, but I haven't tried it with the splash guard to see if it's going to keep the water out of the boat. All right, if we're walking the beaches, and this could be anywhere from Venice all the way down, Captiva, Boca, wherever. What would you likely catch if you're standing on the sand casting out into the water?
I've been getting mixed reports literally from Sanibel all the way up to Venice. Mostly it's been a lot of snook, mostly on the small side. People are seeing some bigger snook. There has been a handful of flounder being caught. A couple incidental pompano, not any good numbers, just kind of bycatch. The weirdest part is I've been getting a lot of reports of blue runners. Guys are catching, you know, 8 and 10 inch blue runners right from the surf. And then there has been occasionally on a couple of the places where guys have had some Spanish mackerel come close to shore along with some regular jacks. But those fish are just kind of, you got to wait for the bait to move in close enough as it's coming in from offshore, and those fish will follow them right in. But it's not something targetable.
Venice seems to do a little better for the mackerel along the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the mackerel been hit or miss everywhere else, but not bad. Once you get a mile or two off the beach, now you're starting to talk numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And the water is a little tannin out there, no matter which beach you're at. It seems like it gets a little bit cleaner as you move your way north from Inglewood Beach going up. But from Stump Pass south, even, you know, a mile away from any of the passes, it's still got a little hint of that tannin color to it.
You know, all this time I never bothered to put Ponderosa with the rest of the passes. I'm going to do a little copy and paste here for a second and go up and put a link thing in it to show people where it's at. But I've got, I got Ponderosa on there. Okay. I missed it. I got it as the first one. Ponderosa, Redfish, Captiva, Boca Grande, Little Gasparilla, Stump Pass, and the Venice Jetties. And that's going from south to north. So,
it covers them all pretty well.
Yeah, if you click any of those names, it zooms in on Google for you so you can look at it. Boca Grande's actually got a page for it, but that's the only one with an actual page yet. I got to still work on the other ones. But anyway, going down to Ponderosa, Sanibel, St. James City area. What's going on down there?
There's been some really, really good trout fishing in St. James out in them deeper flats right now. You know, shrimp on a float's been working the best. You can throw, you know, a paddle tail or a little, you know, storm twitch stick on your deeper flats. As for the redfish have been very, very good around Sword Point, the mouth of the Coosahatchee. The snook fishing's been very good right there around the Sanibel Causeway. Majority of those snook, they're all big ones, you know, so you're going to need, you know, your tarpon gear, something a little heavier to get them fish out.
And they're feeding the same way they are out at Placida, mostly that dark to just after sunrise.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Early morning or later in the evening.
Okay. Any tarpon down that area?
There has been a few. There have been a few right just south of the Sanibel Causeway out in that big open water there in the bay. There has been some tarpon there.
Yeah, I'm hearing of them cruising through, but nothing right immediately around the causeway itself.
All right, well, that's going to take us up to Coosahatchee. I forgot I did a copy and paste. All right, let me get the... now I've got the correct one. I'm typing the place-by-place report as we go through this, and that's why I'm looking for that. Okay, up on the Coosahatchee River, I have not had any reports.
I haven't gotten any reports.
Okay.
The one guy said he was going to start giving some reports to Vinny, so maybe we'll have to start asking him if he's heard of anything down there.
Yeah, I'm going to have to make some calls down there to get that. Hopefully, Mondays we'll get all those reports together. We're going to be calling fishing clubs, trying to get the fishing clubs, more of the captains, trying to get what happened for the weekend and what's coming up for the week for you guys.
I'll be down there one day next week.
Matt Lachey, what's going on?
You know, Matt Lachey's been doing very, very well around the power lines. Redfish, there's quite a few redfish running around the power lines. And I've also been getting quite a few flounder right there on the west bank of the power lines. You know, throwing shrimp, that's where I've been catching a lot of my redfish and all those flounder. Crab have also been working very, very well too. The snook, there's been some really good snook fishing right there around the Matlachet Bridge. Around all those like shrimp boats and docks all through there, there's been some pretty good snook fishing.
What have they been getting those on?
Mainly just throwing lures like paddle tails or the storm baits. The savage bait's been working very good for the bigger snook.
Well, that swimming, that mullet that swims.
I've been using a thread fin looking one.
Oh, okay.
It resembles, you know, the closest thing to a ladyfish that we have out there, so.
Right.
Okay. Takes us around to Pine Island Sound, and this is sponsored by Reaper Rods. Carl, you have a Reaper Rod?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think every one of us has a Reaper Rod. I still go back to, I think it's an amazing rod, American Components, American Blank, put together here in town by some amazing people, and I'm pretty sure the only complaint I've ever had with the Reapers, if you buy one, you're probably going to buy another one.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that one knife sharpener we sell.
Yeah.
You have one, and then you have to buy another one.
You got to buy another one. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I think that's the only drawback to getting a Reaper rod is wanting another one. Now, I will say, as a matter of, you know, my little honesty, I'm not sure, you know, if you're just a casual fisherman and you're throwing a shrimp or something, I don't know if you really want to spend that money for it. Because you're talking $170 to over $200 for a rod, which by comparison, a lot of these small companies is very reasonably priced. Because
custom,
these custom rods are $400 right. And up. I mean, that's ridiculous.
It's a no-name company and it's a custom rod. It's like,
yeah,
whoa,
no.
That's pretty sporty.
Yeah. I mean, Reaper, they're expensive at, you know, $200-ish, but at least I understand why you're doing it. It casts farther. There's less knots. It works good. If you're throwing lures all day, this is a great buying a rod. I'm just not sure that the average fisherman, when you're listening to this, it'd be great for you to have a Reaper. Listen to the rain coming down.
Oh, I had to take the headphones off.
Yeah. We wear headphones in case I, you know, do something, you know, goofy and have sound effects or whatever they can hear when I'm making fun of all this. Yes, the show's going right there at the moment. Okay, but these thunderstorms sponsored by that hurricane and our thoughts, prayers, we have been. I had a day one time in August where I lost my house, my store, and my belongings. But in a matter of a few hours, and I know how they feel in Texas. When you're looking at a big storm coming at you, and what's weird is thunderstorms for the next few years tend to spook you a little bit. I never thought I would have anything like a PTSD thing, but I can honestly say, for some of my life, I've always been one that I love standing in a storm. I like the energy of it. I like the feel of it, you know, to stand in a storm. I don't know why. I've always liked that. For a couple years after the hurricane, I didn't do it. I couldn't do it.
No, a little gun shy.
A little gun shy. It's like after I got hit by lightning that one time. I mean, I'd see the flash. I would be inside before I heard the thunder. But now I'm back to the point. I like standing up. We have thunderstorms come up. I'm back standing. I go up on the widow's walk on top of the house. Yeah. I go up on top of the widow's walk, and I literally want to feel that storm come in until it, which is really dangerous because the lightning can be several miles away from the storm. But I'm standing up there atop the widow's walk. I'm the highest thing anywhere watching storms roll up.
Like
I know,
Lieutenant
Carl, I'm an
Dan.
Idiot.
Lieutenant Dan, bring it on.
Yeah, you can't sink this boat, okay. All right, Pine Island Sound.
Man, that's been some really, really good fishing as far as the inshore goes. You know, there's been redfish scattered around all the islands.
Okay, really good fishing for redfish.
Mm-hmm.
Demir Key has been really, really good.
I've been hearing of good ones down there by the Captiva Rocks. All those islands right in the immediate vicinity of Captiva Rocks. along with some fairly good-sized trout with guys drifting along once again with some pinfish underneath a cork, fishing some of those deeper sand holes in that 3 to 5 feet of water range. There has been a lot of single and double tarpon cruising along the intercoastal, along the shallow edges, up and down all the way up to, geez, Patricio pretty much. And also a good mixture of sharks and some Spanish mackerel. Just kind of a good mixture of fishing going on everywhere down there. If you're willing to, you know, explore a little bit and experiment a little bit, you should be able to kind of have yourself a good mixed bag of a day.
Yeah, I mean, your bigger bull reds are starting to show up earlier down there right now. There's quite a few redfish down there right now. It's spread out everywhere.
What are they catching the reds on?
You know, a lot of people are using white bait down there. I've been using cut bait still. Cut pinfish, cut ladyfish, cut crab, cut mullet. That's what I've been using. I haven't used a piece of white bait in 2 months.
Okay. Jug Creek Shoals, and this is sponsored by our buddy Jason Tari over at JT Custom Pools. Kind of just a thank you ad for him. And this is Jug Creek Shoals. What's going on there?
Some of the guys have been getting some bait there. And then it seems like the outer perimeter is starting to do what it used to do. You know, guys are catching some trout, a few Spanish mackerel, an incidental bluefish, and some small sharks. All right in that same general vicinity. I haven't heard much for any.
Okay, now, here's one thing. We have said bluefish more this summer
than
in the entire time I've been in that store.
Me too. Yep. Usually you hear about them in the wintertime. And Ooh. Even then, not that many.
And I can remember in the wintertime when they would be in the Pelham or Ackerman Waterway, O'Hara Waterway, and no one else was getting them anywhere else.
But there.
And
Trout Creek, too.
But there was none around. And then all of a sudden we hear about them in Trout Creek, and then we're hearing about them a little bit in PGI, and then the next thing you know, they're out through the harbor, they're on the flats, they're... What? I mean, what happened over the eons that all of a sudden the bluefish said, okay, I'm going to hang out and grow up here in Charlotte Harbor, and we're going to do this?
Got the same memo from the sheep's head.
They got the sheep. Well, I would say the sheep had got the memo from the bluefish. Well, you know, it's a good place to be all year. Now, I moved here permanently. I want to live here all year. Carl, you grew up here. But Robert, you're a transplant as well. I guess I understand the bluefish and sheephead. Charlotte Harbor, Port Charlotte, Punta Gorda. This is a great place to live year round.
Yes, it is.
But who would have thought the fish would have stuck their head out and went, oh, yeah, look at this. Yeah, what a great place to be. This is going to bring us to Burnt Store, Two Pines area, sponsored by Shimano. And they were here yesterday as well, traveling. They came by yesterday and we were talking. We've got some more Shimano rods we're going to pick up and a couple new lines of the reels. We're going to be carrying a little bit more Shimano. By October, November, we're going to bring some more of that stuff in. Yeah, we need a bigger boat. Okay. But...
When you start scratching your head going, space is getting a little tight, it's definitely getting tight.
Yeah, we're running out of room quick. But I'll figure something out. I'm, you know, when I need to do the knives, I had to wait, and then all of a sudden one day I went, oh my God, yeah, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's going to be a moment where I can figure out where to put all this stuff. I know there is. It's coming. It's going to hit me any moment. And so Burnt Store Two Pines, sponsored by Shimano. The CI4 is worth buying again. I will stress that. Worth buying again, because they were junk for a couple years. They were garbage reel. And they scratched right away. They were garbage. Now it's back. The CI4 is back. You can buy it. You're going to get time out of it. It's going to be a good reel. And Shimano's on its way back. I mean, it's been a while. So, you know, kudos to Shimano. You're coming back. Good deal. Actually making the reels worth the outrageous money they're charging for them. You know, that's a tough gig to do. So it's going to be interesting this year with the new Conflict 2 coming out, the lightweight pen. Seeing how the CI4, the pen, seeing how all this is going to play out together. Right now, as it stands, Shimano is alone in a good lightweight reel.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting.
Might not be for long, though.
Might not be for long. We're going to see. You know, a guy came in the other day, wanted a reel. He's waiting for this other one. I said, buy the... Oh, we'll get to it. We're almost to there. I was going to talk about that. We're almost there. Okay, Bernstorff Two Pines, what's going on?
Caught himself. That was good.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of redfish and snook all along that whole shoreline there. Those guys that are goofy enough to fight the mosquitoes that are wading out there, they've been doing pretty well. There has been some trout as you work your way out farther out towards the sandbar. And then there's been some tarpon miscellaneous throughout the day on the outside of that bar up to, you know, a mile off the shoreline there. And they seem to go all the way down heading towards past Two Pines. So, you know, good little mixed gamut of stuff. What are you chuckling about?
Because, I mean, that area is a very good area to fish. You know, the redfish are starting to school up there. And, you know, I give it to all these people that go wading out there. But I'm sorry, I've seen some of the biggest sharks in this harbor cruising them flats.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't.
And the alligators.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I mean, some of those alligators that are out there this time of year.
I mean, it's a great place to fish. There's a lot of fish there.
But at this time of year, not only are you dealing with bull sharks, which are absolutely nuts, you have no idea what a bull shark is going to do. Chance of getting bit by a hammerhead, I say, are slim to almost none. They're a very intelligent shark. They really know what they're up and about.
And they don't have a big enough mouth to really do anything.
But a bull shark, they're nuts. They could follow you, take a bite out and go, ah, I don't want that, or eat you whole, or just come up and rub you and want to be petted between the ears. I mean, you never know what a bull shark is going to do. Probably the most unpredictable creature on the planet is a bull shark, and they're all over that flat. Then throw in the alligators.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, tag. That's even for me, that's a little nuts. I don't mind the bull sharks, I don't mind the gators, but together... No, I'm sorry. Okay, now this is we're going from Pirate Harbor north up towards Alligator Creek on the east side, East Keys. I've got one here. It's called Bayback Key, but actually it is what's the name of that one? I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, it does have a real name, which I'm going to be changing it to. I did find out the actual name of it. The reason I haven't changed it, we're going to do a little competition to see if anybody else knows the actual name of that key. So I haven't changed it yet. But a new spot up there on the east side you can look at. And this is sponsored by Akuma. And I was telling a guy in, he's waiting for these new pen conflicts to come out. Mm-hmm. And he wanted a reel just to get through the weekend with. I said, you won't do better than that $50 Akuma reel. You can't do better than that, as it gets you through the night reel, and it will probably last longer than you want it to.
Oh, easily.
Oh, it's a good reel. Very good reel for the price.
Talking about the Chimera?
Kmar, yeah.
Kmar, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the Samar, yep. Kmar, whatever it is. It's $50. It's red and black. It's a good-looking reel. It's very lightweight.
Very, very light.
Very lightweight. I mean, it's probably in the same ballpark as the CI4 as far as the weight.
Yeah.
Yep. And it holds up well. It's $50.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
pretty surprising.
Oh, my God. What was funny is when we were first starting to deal with Akuma, I took 8 or 10 of their reels out, put them on the table, and asked the guys which one of these is the most expensive, which one's the least expensive. Their $140 reel was last every time. It's the cheapest reel. The $50 Samar or Kmar or whatever it is was either first or second as the most expensive reels in a blind test when nobody knew what they were looking at. In a blind test, it was never less than second place.
Nah.
And that was funny. Remember that, Carl?
Oh, yeah, I remember it.
You picked it as either...
I did the same thing.
Yeah. Now, you've been testing them on the boat. What's your favorite Akuma reel?
My favorite is the Azor. I mean, it's a very durable, strong... great casting reel. I mean, I haven't had an issue with them at all.
Now, you're using Shadow Stalkers?
Yes. The Shadow Stalkers, the inshore versions, and the tarpon, you know, the bigger game shark tarpon rods.
So you're pretty happy with your Akuma stuff.
But together, they're a great match. I mean, I was surprised when I first got them, you know, how strong they were. Because I put the tarpon ones up on big sharks, and they handled them pretty gosh darn good.
All right.
Very impressive.
When people do testing for us at the store here, it's a little different. Because for the first year, first few months, I don't like it when they get one, like Azores and this rod. What I want these guys to do, if we're testing a line of products, they should be testing the line of products. So you had a big mismatch on your boat. They were all like 7 foot actions and stuff, but you had a lot of different rods, all the different reels. And so you didn't go out to test the Azor. No. You went out to test Akuma as a whole. You had the very inexpensive to the very expensive ones. And you settled in on this one because it was the one you liked the most.
Yeah, the middle. It's in the middle you, price range.
But you could have had the more expensive ones or the less expensive ones, but this was the one you chose. It's a big deal to me that people understand that you didn't go out there and they didn't give you that reel. We picked all these
trial
reels.
Trial and error for a year.
And from the very expensive ones to the very inexpensive ones. And this was the one that you picked that you liked the best. The Azor.
Yes, sir. Yep. Very, very good reel. I mean, I love it.
So
I use them on the inshore and bigger game. All sizes are very good on the Azor.
And unlike when companies, they really go wrong when captains want to get reels from them and stuff. They say, which ones do you want? Well, they pick what they want to fish with, and either like it or don't. But they don't really get to feel the broad base of the line of products. And I think that's absolutely the wrong thing to do. They should fish with everything and decide where you want to be. And, you know, yours were right in the middle. So, anyway, so this is the east side, the East Keys. What's going on?
Pyre Harbor's got some really good redfish fishing going on right now.
Inside or on the outside?
From the inside, from the outer islands all the way in. I mean, there's some really good redfish fishing going on over there. Usually, I mean, right now you catch one, you stop the boat, you're going to catch at least five or six more, and then once it stops, move on. But there's quite a few redfish in Pyre Harbor. Shrimp has been working good, pinfish have been working good, crabs, whitebait. I mean, they're not picky right now. They're feeding pretty good, darn good over there.
Yeah, I've been hearing about some good redfish, too, all the way up working your way north along the outer islands. Guys that seem to be doing the best on them are catching them where there's a good pinch point with some very good moving water. Incoming seems to be a little bit better, but it mainly just seems to be about just finding that place where you got good, steady moving water coming around those islands there. And then on the outside edge of the bar, that's where they've been catching some better trout in that 3 to 5 feet of water range. Guys just drifting along with some pinfish, catching an incidental shark or an incidental Spanish mackerel.
It's been weird. Our trout fishing, we got some big trout right now.
Yeah, I've been hearing that too. You know, not great numbers, but no, definitely but better quality fish.
Yeah, than we did all winter. Like
18, 20, 22 inch fish.
Yep.
You know, it's been surprising. You know, what about the snook over there? You been hearing much for snook? I've only heard of a few peanuts.
There's a lot of small snook over there. I mean, there are a few big ones, but the majority of them are small. You know, your little peanut chicken snook. Quite a few of them, but not a lot of big ones.
Yeah. You know, there's been some tarpon.
I can give you a preview. That's where I caught my snook, so you can kind of guess what it's my snook for the fishing club meeting. I caught it on the east side on that Bayback Key.
There is one bay over there that is holding some big snook, which isn't very far from that your bay that you're talking about. Mm. But
all right,
them snook are almost impossible.
Alligator Creek Poacher's Cut, sponsored by Aquine HR. They do all of our human resources, payroll. And you guys have listened to the group I've got. You got to figure, we could use some human resources here. but they do a great job, and they take full responsibility for their actions. You know, they don't do my payroll taxes like the one company I had. screw them up, and then I have to pay the fines and penalties. And they say, well, it's not us to pay that. Yes, it is. You did them. I didn't do them. If I did them, I'd pay the fines and penalties. But Acline, great company to deal with. So if you need somebody to handle payroll and workman's comp and stuff, I recommend giving them a go. They could be more expensive or less. I honestly don't know. I never cared to look. What is my stress value worth? Everybody comes in, well, I can give you a better deal. I can give you a better deal. Out.
Right.
It's not about the better deal. Is the deal better if, and I mean, they could be less than these other companies. I honestly don't know, even though I should, because I did pay two other companies to do this. But, you know, when it comes down time, when the government audits me, and I've been audited many times. I mean, I went through, 8 months of forensic IRS audit. I've been through state audits, everything else. You know, they can't figure out how we do what we do. So, anyway, but good people. I'm very happy. What are we doing in Alligator Creek?
Mostly what I've been hearing about has been right at the old lock going into Burnt Store Isles. Still some, you know, mangrove snappers starting to pick up just a little bit more right in that area. A lot of black drum as you move into the canal systems back there in Burnt Store Isles, along with some bigger black drum. I haven't heard much along the main canal itself.
Heard about anything in the creek, Carl?
No, like Poacher's Cut, you know, you got some small mangrove snappers with some peanut snook right now. With occasional oddball redfish going through there, but it's been pretty quiet.
Yeah, we were talking about it a couple weeks ago. We'll be curious to see what it does this winter since that dredging got done. Yeah. Real curious to see what that...
See if the trout and pompano and everything move
I
back.
I wish they would have snuck that dredge into Poacher's Cut. That thing would have loaded with fish.
Oh, yeah.
Just digging in about halfway. Oh, God. Can you imagine how many fish...
I'll be honest, I'd like to take that little barge thing a few places.
Oh, I've said for years, if they turn me loose with a barge, I can get you 30 to 60% more fish in a couple years here, just letting me put the habitat back to the way it was in the 50s. You know, I've never found pictures older than the 50s.
Wow.
Well, cameras weren't really good before the 50s. So that's why I say 50s. Ponce de Leon Park, what's going on?
Snapper bites still doing pretty good in there. A few oddball, small baby black drum.
Been a handful of snook cruising through there too, as usual. You know, guys are catching one here, one there. No great numbers yet. At least not catchable, but definitely a good consistent spot.
All right, PGI canals and the canals of PGI in Punta Gorda. This is sponsored by Charlotte Harbor Construction. Custom home builders, if you're up north and you're thinking, like many people do, that you want to live here in Charlotte, Port Charlotte, Punta Gorda.
Join the bluefish and the sheep's head.
Yeah, join the bluefish and the sheep head. We're all here. And a lot of people moving to the area. And we've gotten a lot of people in this year who have just moved here.
A lot of people. Yeah. It's been surprising.
If you're thinking about building a home down here, give these guys a call. Good company. I think you'll be very happy with them if you're going to build a house down here. Let's see. So Charlotte Harbor Construction, Inc., and that's 941-374-4665. Or just go on to the Fishing Report page. If you're listening here, there's a thing right on there underneath the PGI Canals in Punta Gorda. That's what they sponsor. Okay, what's in the PGI Canals?
Well, quite a few big black drum I'm hearing about. They've been actually cooperating a little bit better compared to the last week or so. A lot of juvenile tarpon starting to move around more. And then the mangrove snapper bite in general has started to pick up in there, especially right at the mouths of the canals. Doesn't matter if it's a dead-end canal, just fishing the open right at the points of each one of those canals seems to be producing a little bit better. And then a handful of guys that are smart enough to troll on their way out have been picking up some fairly good-sized jacks, up, you know, 5 to 10 pounds. So kind of a mixed gamut of things.
You know, around your bridges, there's been quite a few big snook later in the evenings. Been doing pretty good on them. But other than that, it's been black drum and small tarpon.
Okay. Gilcrest Pier?
Crickets.
Yep.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
They were doing some kind of work around there, too, for a while. Okay. Grady. Let's see. This is Allstate Insurance, and it's McGrady and Ponte Gorda. That's who I got my charter insurance with. And I keep the charter boat insurance on my boat, even though I'm not doing charters, because the insurance is better coverage. It's a little more expensive, but, you know, if we do get a storm or hurricane, I really would like my boat back. And one of the national companies who sells charter boat insurance to everybody, when I finally needed them, they didn't do a thing. And they didn't fight for me at all. I mean, I just ended up losing on it. And I was so upset because I spent a lot of money over the years on it. And now I go through Mick. I just call down there. Whether you just have a regular recreational boat or a charter boat. And the reason I bring up the charter boat, because it's really hard to find people cover charter boat insurance. There's very, very few. He went out of his way, found it for me, and I've been very happy with that. But I've got store insurance with him. I've got car insurance with him. I got regular boat insurance, because one of my boats registered as a regular boat, but the commercial boat that I have is actually got to have commercial insurance. So whether it's regular boat, car, he even insured my when I was driving that motorcycle for a while. So, you know, good guy. All right. Alligator Creek Reef is what Grady Insurance is sponsoring. What are they sponsoring?
A lot of juvenile tarpon with a few big adult tarpon hanging around on it. There's also been some Spanish mackerel, a couple of small sharks. I haven't heard much about the bottom bite at all.
A few oddball cobia.
Oh, there you go. What are they catching the tarpon on over there?
Mainly ladyfish. Bait busters have been working good. Storm paddle tails. But mainly ladyfish under a float.
Yeah. It's that time of year where the ladyfish are definitely by far the best tarpon food out there for them.
Yeah. Their ladyfish
about
are pretty...
About 5 foot under a float?
Yeah, 4 to 5 feet under a float. I usually put one a little shallower than the other because I'm usually putting two out. I'll usually put one about 4 foot, and then I'll usually do one about 5 foot.
Okay. Going out to the deep holes in the harbor, sponsored by Seato. And what is Seato sponsoring? The crazy-looking yellow boat out there. What are they sponsoring?
All the catfish you want.
Yeah.
There's so many catfish out there. You get around any of those birds. There's a mixture of Spanish mackerel in with them. But the catfish are beating the Spanish mackerel to the spoon or the pompano jig.
There has been a few tarpon in the south hole and the north hole. But, I mean, it is a lot of catfish.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. There also has been a few small sharks and with the guys that are fishing right on the bottom in those holes. Seems like they're catching more off the bottom than they are suspending the baits. You know, so it's, and there's a ton of small schools of, small thread fins. They're not the big tarpon size, they're more white bait size-ish. And they're moving back and forth, so the birds are having a field day, and that seems where your Spanish and catfish are really concentrated most around. But it's kind of fun, literally, those, you know, catfish little pompano jigs, and they're just, the sail cats are just jumping on them.
And just make sure you have one of those catfish grippers with the metal, the aluminum ones with the metal jaws, and grip them and rip them.
I mean, they're a fun fight, but
they're a lot of fun, and they're hitting those lures, and it's just, it is a lot of fun. But, you know, you're...
Be careful.
You just got to be careful, and the way to do that is simply to...
Let somebody else take them off for you.
Yeah, you know, just be careful when you're taking them off the hook. But it's steady action. It's fun. If you have one of those grippers and a pair of needle nose pliers, you're going to have a great day. You're going to have a lot of fun. No injuries, you know. And I hold them over the side of the boat. I don't want to bring them in, so there's no slime. There's no garbage anywhere. It's actually can be a very good time. So now that brings us to the bait report. Where do we find white bait?
Boquilla, devilfish, Bull Bay, outside of Bull Bay, also on the inside of Turtle Bay, too.
bite bait up inside Turtle Bay?
Yep. As soon as you come in, Gallagher's cut. There's big white bait there. But I haven't thrown a net for 2 months. It's not even in the boat anymore.
No.
Nope.
I don't blame you.
Fish are eating everything else. Why do I got to switch? Less work for me.
All right. Pinfish.
Pinfish, you know, there's a lot of your bigger pinfish are out there towards, like, Bird Island out there by Eldred's Marina. You could also get a lot of different sized pinfish around Devilfish and Sandfly right now. You have a lot of small pinfish over there on the east wall by Pirate Harbor. Smokehouse also has quite a few pinfish on the Matlachet side of Boquilla.
Yeah, they've been getting to that perfect size right now, too. You know,
all those babies grew up.
Yeah. And sabiki in them or cast netting them because they're in, you know, anywhere from 2 feet to 4 feet of water for the most part. So you can do both.
I'm using a sabiki rig, tipping it with squid.
Yeah. I like catching my sabiki more than anything else.
All right, where do we find ladyfish?
On your outside of your east wall from Pirate Harbor all the way to Alligator Creek, there's ladyfish on the outside of the bar. There's ladyfish on Cape Hayes Reef. There's also some ladyfish on the outside of the west wall bar. K.O. Palou out there where all those trout usually hang out in 4 to 5 feet of water. There's some ladyfish there.
They've been doing pretty good schools of them. Either look for flipper or just look for some of the little pops that are in concentrated areas.
They've been staying down on the bars, on the outside of the bars, but just go blind casting. You're going to sit there and catch trout and ladyfish one after another. But they've been really showing themselves out there on Cape Hayes Reef.
Okay. Do we have anything to say in the freshwater? I know on the 9 mile, the bass have been hitting by the spillways. And anybody else heard anything about bass hitting anywhere?
Mm-mm. No, I haven't heard of any bass really. I think the spillways will probably be good today and tomorrow though with all this rain. I'll bet you some of those spill dams are going to be dumping hardcore.
Oh yeah. I'm going to be surprised there's some snook and baby tarpon on the bottom end of them.
All right. Speaking of which, that brings us to our tarpon report. And so, tarpon are...
in the 20-foot holes peppered around, especially the, you know, Pirate Harbor hole and up to the northern, you know, typical 20-foot hole. But there has been some good numbers between the holes and the west wall, and then a few around Alligator Creek Reef. There in the late afternoon, it seems like a little bit better bite from Cape Hayes out through to into Boca Grand Pass. And those fish there are assorted sizes. You run into one little group, they're 100 pounders, another little group, they're all 30 pounders.
Now, where was that?
From Cape Hayes out to Boca. You know, Boca's, even in the past, there's been a good variety of tarpon, but seems like the afternoon has been where the better numbers have been being seen and caught.
I mean, there's still quite a few big tarpon running around.
There's some good fish still out on the beach too, but they're very, very much in like little singles and doubles, not great schools of them.
Alright. Okay. Bringing up the thing so I can get my alright, hang on, I'm going to take me a second to find it here. I'm going to do the tarpon page so we can get this done.
Get the map marked off?
Yeah, doing the tarpon map. So, okay, alright, we are ready for red dots, which means your best places to catch tarpon around the area. Where would that be, Carl?
Around Cape Hayes Reef, Mangrove Point to Alligator Creek Reef. I bet that would probably be your best areas.
All right, Robert, from Venice to Sanibel, where's the best place to catch tarpon?
Some along the 20-foot holes. And the Boca Grande Pass. And then that would probably be my, with the red dots.
All right. Now, yellow dots mean 50-50. What's place where you've got a fair shot at catching tarpon?
The beach.
North or south
Both,
of Boca?
All of it. And then also along the intercoastal from Patricio down to, like, say, Redfish Pass.
Okay.
Say the west wall. On the outside of the bar.
Along the west wall. Whoop. Hang on. I got to miss that couple of shots there. All right. Starting at Cape Hayes going north. How far north, Carl?
All the way up to the Mayak.
Got that. All right. Anybody a chance of tarpon?
Around the 41 Bridge.
Port Charlotte Canals, PGI Canals.
Okay.
You're going to see them. But the chance of catching them is low.
All right. Well, save that. All right. That's 8. 25, 17. All right, we'll put that map in place. I think that does it for the fishing report and a PC Solutions of Arcadia 863-491-0497. Somebody had 79 on their thing. It's 863-491-0497. PC Solutions of Arcadia. Nice folks, they can log into your computer home or whatever, but I did have the wrong phone number up for them. And I got some notices that people were trying to call, and it was a poor woman's house. I fixed it today, so that's fixed. Sorry about that, ma'am. Whoever you were getting calls that you shouldn't have got. So anyway, it is the correct phone number for PC Solutions of Arcadia, and they will help you with your computer problems. So if you're wondering why your computer doesn't work, why it's too slow, or why it's just non-functional, call them. They will help you out. And you can pretty much do that from anywhere. I think they can log in if you can still get it somewhere. But anyway, give them a call. Anything else we need to talk about here, boys and girls, moms and dads, children of all ages? In other words, Carl and Robert.
No, I think we covered it all.
You know, in the heat of the day, look for your shade. That's where, you know, most of your fish are going to be, in a little bit of cooler water. But, I mean, that's the best thing you could do right now, is look for that little cooler water, and most of the time that's in the shaded areas.
Any last words, Robert?
I think once this tropical low goes through, we're going to just have to keep an eye out for some changes. I think we're going to see some interesting changes coming up over the next week.
Interesting is about sums it up, because I got to tell you, whoop, that wasn't what I wanted, but that ends the show on a proper note.
There you go.
There we go. Wait a minute. Let's see. You know, I got to tell you, a half-hearted round of applause for the lousy sound effects. Okay, and here we go. And there is the slide in. And it's Fish and Frank here, Robert and Chair Cross me, and Captain Carl KB Backcountry Charters in the guest spot. And we thank you guys for putting this up with another Radio Fishing Area Fishing Report. And good gosh, boys and girls, we appreciate so much. Last count, it's like 6,000 people now listening to Radio Fishing. So I wanted to thank you all for that, our new listeners and our old loyal followers. We are going to try to be every Thursday or Friday, but we hope to have it up Friday, unless we all get called away and we have to go somewhere, and then we'll do it Saturday. But every week we'll be here talking about something, and it might even have something to do with fishing. But Fish and Frank here, Radio Fishing. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye-bye.